Brothers and sisters, we're going to work a little bit with numbers this morning. Okay, now how we're going to do that? Well, we'll come back to that at the end of the homily. But first, a little bit on our first reading and also our gospel of today. So let's begin with a story. It's a story about a physician who decided to move his practice from one end of the town to the other. So his nurse and also secretary were helping him move things, shuffle things back and forth. Well, the nurse decided that she would take the skeleton. The skeleton was used, of course, to point out to different patients that came in, this is what's going on. So of all places she put it in the passenger seat. Okay, so she's going down the road, and you can imagine people are looking at him, you know, seeing what's kind of going on. But here's the kicker of it all. They come to a red light, they stop. The guy next to him, next to her in the car just, you know, is sitting there staring, can't believe his eyes. So she rolls down her window and tries to explain and saying, I'm moving this skeleton to the physician's office. He's moving offices. And the guy rolls down his window and simply responds, I don't know how to tell you this, but whatever you're trying to do, it's way too late. Okay? It's way too late. Now, in the Gospels, we never hear a story about Jesus taking a skeleton and putting flesh back on it. But we do hear a lot of amazing stories, don't we, about healing, bringing people back to life, forgiving sins, and bringing people the gift of health. And it's that story of health that we hear about today. Well, first, I want to talk to you a little bit about it today. What did it look like at the time of Jesus? Different forms of it, people. Some were just looked at as a minor irritation. Some were looked upon everyone as something that a person could actually die from. No matter where you were with leprosy, though, you were ostracized. In other words, if you were coming into church 2,000 years ago and had leprosy, and I was standing at the door, I would say, you can't come in. You're not welcome. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say you're not even welcome to go home with your family. You can't go to school. You can't go to work. You have to stay separated. So that meant everyone, basically, you had to beg for your bread. And even while you were begging for your bread, you had to yell out everyone, I'm a leper, I'm a leper. I'm unclean, I'm unclean. Wouldn't that be a life to live? Well, in the first reading of today, we do come across that famous Naaman, everyone. And Naaman, everyone, is a tremendously powerful man in the Syrian army. As a matter of fact, he's the top general. Now, I'm going to share some stories with you about some people, everyone, some pretty powerful people. And we're going to talk a little bit about a thorn in the flesh that each one had. I think about four people today, everyone. St. Lawrence of Olivier, I think about Winston Churchill, I think about President Franklin Roosevelt, and I think about John Madden. Okay? Who are each? St. Lawrence of Olivier, everyone, was a famous actor. President Roosevelt, of course, was a president. Winston Churchill was the prime minister of Great Britain. John Madden was a famous coach and a famous announcer. Each had their own thorn in the flesh, and here they are. St. Lawrence of Olivier, everyone, a great actor, believe it or not, had stage fright. He was terribly afraid, like I am this morning, of getting up in front of people. Terribly scared. Franklin Roosevelt, of course, sat in a wheelchair. We never see, everyone, a picture of Franklin Roosevelt, or they're very rare, from everyone from basically his waist down, because he was in a wheelchair. Winston Churchill, believe it or not, suffered from tremendous depression. Depression. John Madden, the famous coach, everyone, of the Oakland Raiders, the famous announcer, everyone, had a terrible, terrible fear of flying. He had the Madden bus. And there was a reason for that, everyone. He crossed the country, everyone. Pat Summerall used to fly. Madden would take his bus. Why? He was scared of flying. All powerful people. Here we have Naaman in the first reading of today. He's an absolute, the top general in the army. And what everyone is, his great thorn in the flesh, he's a leper. He's a leper. And for you and I to appreciate the whole story, I'll fill in the blank for you today. Because today is just the end of the story. But here's how the story goes. Naaman, everyone, has leprosy. But remember this, he's a Syrian general. Top general in the Syrian army, everyone. And who does he, everyone, who is the one that intervenes for him? Of all people, it is this. Someplace along the line, Syria and Israel have been fighting for centuries. Naaman came across a slave girl for his wife. It was a slave girl who told him, what I want you to do is I want you to go to Israel. There's a famous prophet there. He can heal you. Isn't this the story of God? God takes everyone, a slave girl, second-class citizen, a woman who certainly at the time of Jesus wasn't held in the same esteem as a man, and tells a man what to do. This is the story of the Bible. God takes people we wouldn't expect and asks them to do the same thing, great things. And so he thinks about it, and he decides to go. Now, I'm going to try to give you an example to let you know how tricky this is. Syrian has to go into foreign territory, the top general, and seek out a prophet. Here's as good an example as I can think of for you. It'd be like the great General Rommel of the Germans during World War II. During World War II, everyone, in these escapades with the Americans, having to come to foreign soldier and come to St. Mary's Hospital to get healing and help. Imagine what that would have been like. Well, that's what Naaman did. He realized it was hard. But he got his retinue together, everyone, and he came. And he came. Okay? And what happens when he gets there, everyone? Here's where he gets mad. Elisha doesn't even come out. He sends a messenger and tells him, the messenger tells him, go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. Well, Naaman is furious. Here's a general, Aaron. How dare someone not come to me? And he also says, I got a water in Syria. I could have dipped in that 7 times. But you know something? He's got reason. His retinue basically tells him, you guys, Naaman, what do you got to lose? You're still a leper. So what does he do? He goes, dips 7 times, and he's healed. And now you come to the gospel of today. Once he's healed, what does he do? He comes back to the man of God, and now they meet face to face. And Naaman thanks God through the prophet Elisha. Now, I'm not going to go into the gospel of today, but man, is there a parallel between these two readings? It's only one difference that I can see, and here they are. We're dealing with lepers, leprosy. Lepers or a leper approach a man of God. Okay? The man of God tells them to go, and as they go, they are healed. Now, how many lepers approach Jesus today, everyone? It is what? 10. How many come back to thank Jesus? Naaman? 1. And remember, everyone, the one who comes back is a foreigner, a Samaritan. The parallels are remarkable between one and the other. There's only one difference that I can think of, and it's this. Elisha, the man of God, does not come out and meet Naaman. Jesus does. Otherwise, the parallels, everyone, are completely there. A foreigner comes back and thanks Jesus. Okay? With that in mind, we're ready to look at Numbers. What we're going to do today, everyone, this is our little exercise today. We're going to look at the numbers of 1 through 10, and we're going to try to do with you today is work on this. Can we really take numbers and associate them with some aspect of our faith? And the answer is yes. Let's look at the numbers 1 through 10 today. You ready? Let's start with the number 1, and I'll help you with these. When we think about the number 1, how do we associate it with our faith? Well, you're going to help me. I believe in 1. There it is. There is only 1 God, not 3, not 2, 1. 2, if I open up my Bible... By the way, there's an old and a new. What are they called? Testament. There are 2 testaments, the old and the new. 3, there are 3 persons in the Trinity. And notice we don't say this, Father, Son, Father Schuster. Okay? 3 persons are Father, Son, Holy Spirit. By the way, something for you to think about. I'm not going to answer it today, but why do we touch our mind? Why do we touch our hearts? And why do we touch our shoulders? Okay? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? That's another homily someday. Four gospel writers. Who are they? Very good. You got it. Five is tricky. But here it is. Remember the story of the 10 virgins? 10 virgins are there. They're waiting for the groom to come. He's late. So they fall asleep. All of a sudden, the groom is here. The groom is here. Do you remember how many of them were wise to bring enough extra oil? Five. So how many of that, how many were unwise? That's right. They go look for oil. Meantime, groom comes, locks the door. They say, let us in, let us in. No. Five wise, five are foolish. Six. How many days did it take God to create everything? Six. Seventh, eight, what did God do? How many sacraments do we have? Good. Eight. If you actually take Matthew 5, 1 through 12 and go through it, there are actually 8 Beatitudes. But here's another one to think about. Noah takes 8 people into the ark. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and 3 wives. 8 go in the ark. And the number 10, of course, is the number of commandments. Now, you may say, Father, you skipped the number 9. I did for a moment. When we think about the story we just heard about the 10 lepers, think about the numbers associated here. Okay? I'll give you 3. How many lepers were there? Somebody says, associate faith with numbers. 10 commandments, 10 lepers. How many come back to thank Jesus? One God, one leper comes back. Number 9, how many don't? So if you do this word association, this number association, the number 9 symbolizes how many people simply said, I'm going on. So what do we learn today, people? We should be grateful, shouldn't we? You know, when you walked in the doors of this church, the word Eucharist means to be thankful. So when you walked into the doors, what are you saying? I come here to be thankful. So what are you thankful for? Take a moment. I want you to think of 3 things. If you could talk to Jesus face to face, what are 3 things that you'd say, I'm most thankful for? Hopefully there's a lot more, but narrow it down to 3. So let's take a moment today in gratitude, and let's be thankful this day.